Mark Carney will succeed Justin Trudeau as Canada's next Prime Minister.
Canada never, ever will be part of America in any way, shape, or form.
So, who is Mark Carney?
Born in the Northwest Territories, raised in Alberta, educated in the field of economics. Most of his post-high school education has taken place outside Canada.
Today is Monday, March 10th, and this is The Issue from VOA. I'm Scott Walterman.
My government will put into action our plan to build a stronger economy, to create new trading relationships with reliable trading partners.
The new Canadian Prime Minister, Mark Carney, elected Sunday in a landslide vote, he will replace Justin Trudeau and take over management of the trade war brought on by U.S. President Donald Trump.
There's someone who's trying to weaken our economy. Donald Trump. And Donald Trump, as we know, has put, as the Prime Minister just said, unjustified tariffs on what we build, on what we sell, on how we make a living. He's attacking Canadian families, workers, and businesses, and we cannot let him succeed.
Carney's win marks the first time an outsider with no real political background has become Canadian Prime Minister. He said his experience as the first person to serve as the governor of two G7 central banks, Canada and England, meant he was the best candidate to deal with Trump. The prospect of a fresh start for the Liberal Party under Carney, combined with Trump's tariffs and his repeated taunts to annex Canada as the 51st U.S. state, led to a remarkable revival of Liberal fortunes. At the start of 2025, the party trailed by 20 or more points, but is now statistically tied with the official opposition Conservatives. Let's get some context and a deeper understanding of what this will mean for Canada and the Liberal Party. Joining us to help us with that is Tom Urbaniak, a professor in the Political Science Department at Cape Breton University. Thank you so much for being able to join us and talk about this.
My pleasure, Scott.
Tell us a little bit about Mark Carney. Who is he?
So Mark Carney has a somewhat unusual path to the Prime Minister's office. Born in the Northwest Territories, raised in Alberta, educated in the field of economics. Most of his post-high school education has taken place outside Canada. Worked at Goldman Sachs for 13 years. Governor of the Bank of Canada, quite young when he was appointed to that role, and then, very unusually, became governor of the Bank of England, the first foreigner to hold that position. He's been hovering around federal politics, not just in his public service capacities, for quite some time. Even when Justin Trudeau sought the Liberal leadership, there was briefly discussion of maybe Mark Carney jumping into electoral politics. That didn't happen, but there was speculation when he took the post of governor of the Bank of England and requested that his mandate be 5 years instead of the usual eight, that he was still looking to return to Canada and maybe jump into the political arena. He takes office as Prime Minister without a seat in the House of Commons, which is very unusual, and he has never held a seat in the House of Commons. He will be promoted as someone who brings a lot of economic experience, who is a little bit of an outsider, even though he has a lot of insider connections, and that is something that the country could benefit from in this moment of crisis, even existential crisis, as Canada responds to Donald Trump's tariffs and Donald Trump's musings about Canada being annexed by the United States.
How well known is he by the Canadian public?
He has some name recognition, and that certainly helped him with securing the Liberal leadership. So he sort of wasn't unknown among those who are politically active. And by definition, the people voting in the Liberal leadership race are politically active and are at least somewhat in tune with what is going on. He certainly did have some profile as governor of the Bank of Canada, and his name has been bandied about in the mainstream media as someone who was briefly advising Justin Trudeau, as someone whom Trudeau might bring in as Minister of Finance, and as someone who was eyeing a future Liberal leadership. But his bio is not that well known by the general population, and sort of his political style and orientation are not that well known by the general Canadian population. And this is where the opposition Conservatives sense a real opportunity. So they've already been running attack ads against Carney, pointing in a negative way to some of his global economic experience, portraying him as someone who is therefore out of touch with the needs of average Canadians, and even questioning his Canadian loyalty. For example, a company for which he was chair of the board just recently in the past few months relocated its head office to New York, and Carney at first insisted that this was after his time as chair of the board, but then a letter signed by him as chair of the board to the shareholders of the company, saying that the board is recommending that this be approved by the shareholders. So that actually just in the past few weeks got Carney into a little bit of controversy, and the Conservatives are seizing on that and will try to portray him as not sufficiently patriotic during this moment of existential crisis for Canada.
Now, but polling would suggest that that has not worked so far. The Liberals were trailing by 20 points, I believe, and have now pulled even with this news.
Yes. So if the Liberals manage to win the federal election, this will be maybe the most spectacular political comeback in Canadian federal electoral history. I mean, the Liberals just 2 months ago were written off. They were far, far behind the Conservatives in the polls. Justin Trudeau waited very long before stepping down as leader, and he was itching actually just to continue. He was looking forward, despite being so far behind in the polls, to a fight with Pierre Poilievre in the next federal election, but was finally persuaded by his own people that the show was up. But this is like literally on the eve of a federal election. One has to be held by October. But the opposition parties had already announced that they have lost confidence in the government, and that at the first opportunity that they have in the House of Commons, they would pass a non-confidence motion in order to force an election. And so Justin Trudeau, in order to allow the Liberals to even have a short leadership race, once he announced that he was retiring, he had to ask the Governor General to take the unusual step of proroguing Parliament. In other words, like putting Parliament on ice so that the House of Commons could not meet to vote on confidence in the government in order to give the Liberals time to actually pick a new leader. So this is the situation that we are in. Parliament is scheduled to resume on March the 24th. I think there's a good chance it won't. I think Mark Carney will be sworn in as Prime Minister. He'll announce a kind of national unity cabinet. He might even bring in a couple of people from outside the House of Commons to serve in the cabinet, maybe people who had been associated with the moderate wing of the Conservatives at some point or with the NDP at some point, and to show he kind of spans a broad spectrum from the center left to the center right of Canadian politics. Then he'll announce a few policies, abandoning the carbon tax, abandoning the increase in the capital gains tax. He'll signal what his approach will be to Donald Trump, and make a few spending and investment announcements regionally targeted, and then probably ask for a dissolution of parliament in order to have an election. And if he doesn't win that election, then he might go down in the history books as the shortest serving prime minister in Canadian history. That record is held by Sir Charles Tupper, 1896, 69 days. So the count will start soon. Mark Carney hasn't been sworn in yet. That'll probably happen later this week. And then things will move fast.
He's indicated he wants to hold the election relatively soon, not wait till October.
No, I think that's very unlikely that he would try to wait that long. I mean, there may be a strategy where the governing party says, let's meet Parliament on March the 24th. And that's usually done with a speech from the throne. So it's like a speech written by the Prime Minister, but read by the Governor General to sort of outline the policies of the government. And since the opposition parties are still on record as promising to bring down the government, they basically allow themselves to be defeated on an agenda that they think is popular. So that is a potential strategy. Or and they could also be looking to make a very short-term deal with one of the opposition parties to say, okay, we've got this threat to Canada now. Our workers are at risk of unemployment. We've got a Donald Trump manufactured recession. We need to help our people. We're going to announce some spending programs to help ease the pain. And they might look to, let's say, the NDP or the Bloc Québécois, one of the opposition parties, and say, okay, can you support us in Parliament for a few days and we'll get something through? And then we'll agree that this Parliament is over and we'll have an election. So that is an option. I don't think he'll take that option. I think he'll probably be itching to go to a campaign before Parliament resumes.
He seems to be saying all the right things. I saw his speech, we're never going to become a part of America, never, ever. And things like that. He has the chops in terms of the economics. How do you think this is playing overseas, like NATO?
Yeah, well, Mark Carney is a known quantity in diplomatic circles and in international organizations. So this will be his election as Liberal leader and now Prime Minister designate will be probably welcomed by Canada's international partners other than the United States, of course. Mark Carney is dull, to put it bluntly. So he's not a charismatic politician. Even in his acceptance speech last night in front of Liberal Party loyalists, you could tell that some of the oxygen was coming out of the room. The speech was about one third too long. It was a kind of repetitive. It didn't have sort of a lot of emotion, even though he did get the crowd riled up a little bit about his promise to defend Canada at all cost. But that in these times could work for him. To say that, you know, I'm a policy wonk. I think calmly about the options before us. I don't panic. I'm going to pragmatically work with people across the political spectrum. And that stands in contrast with my main opponent, Pierre Poilievre, who is very partisan, very good at the one-line insults, has done a lot of name-calling. And he'll go to the Canadian people, Carney, and say, is that really what you want at this moment in our history?
Interesting. Tom, thanks so much for the time.
Oh, my pleasure, Scott. Thank you.
Tom Urbaniak, a professor with the Political Science Department at Cape Breton University. You've been listening to The Issue from the Voice of America. On behalf of everyone at VOA, thanks for spending this time with us. For news 24/7, check out our website. It's voanews.com. In Washington, I'm Scott Walterman.